This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
And welcome into Red Snapper Day here in Louisiana. We are celebrating the Red Snapper and asking for your favorite Red Snapper recipes. I'm going to be fishing snapper tomorrow out of Sycamore Point. Our Bayou Wild TV team will be joined by a couple of LSU gymnasts for a Tigers in the Wild feature, Sierra Ballard and Ashley Cowan. You'll see them on a future Tigers in the Wild episode. That'll be airing probably sometime next month. Our Bad Boy, the outdoor feature coming up in just a few minutes is the Red Snapper Napper from Abbeville, Louisiana. He got caught breaking the law on the Red Snapper, although he didn't get nearly enough to shut our quota down, but he got definitely over his limit. We'll tell you that story. And, of course, we updated you that we're about probably somewhere around 75 to 80% of our quota that's been allocated for Louisiana, and when they estimate that will be reached, it will be shut down. So we got a lot more to talk about. We got fishing reports coming up momentarily from the guy born on the bayou, Captain Mike Gallo. Chris Holmes is going to be filling in for Eric Mohabarak today on the Paddler's Report. And, of course, the guy we call the Plastic Man downriver, Ryan Lambert. Last week we talked to him from a rodeo up in Wyoming. He's close to a rodeo down home. The Empire South Pass Rodeo is going on this weekend down at Delta Marina. Hopefully we'll maybe get a talk to Mitch Juricic. I know he's been doing some offshore fishing, and I wanted particularly to get a report on the Mai Mai, the dolphin situation. My co-host on Bayou Wild, Captain Martha Spencer, who is running offshore charters, has posted some pictures of just some really nice catches of some of those dolphin, those Mai Mai. And that is another excellent fish. And when you find them along those sargasso grass lines and where the tidal changes are, the current and rip lines out there in the Gulf, boy, there is no faster, hotter, and heavier action than those Mai Mai, also known as the dolphin. In fact, there's probably some opportunity in the CCA Star Tournament to get on the board for that Mai Mai category. And, you know, although I didn't see it listed on there, I'm thinking maybe they don't have that this year, and they changed it. I know they got the mangrove snapper, the red snapper of the offshore. They've got the lemonfish or cobia, and, you know, some of the other bigger species. But maybe they don't have the Mai Mai, because that was the one I won a third place in the one of the very first star tournaments, and it was on a Mai Mai that I had caught. And waded in down at the Venice Marina. Anyway, if you've got something to add to the program, we'd love to hear from you. Again, it's 504-260-1870. I got this one in. We were talking about whistling ducks. Hopefully we can get those added into maybe an early teal season, because a lot of them are gone when our regular duck season's open. Greg's checking in. He says they're still nesting through September. He sees them with the baby ducks during teal season, and he's got a pair that nest in his yard in the wood duck boxes throughout the summer months. You know, strangely enough, I think it was my last fishing trip with Mike Gallo, maybe the one second to last. We were in Lake Pontchartrain, open water, a couple of miles offshore, and here was a mother whistling duck with a bunch of little ducklings following it in the middle of Lake Pontchartrain. And I got to think, I don't know how many of them survived, but there's some critters swimming around out there that in one gulp could take down a baby duck. Not a good place, and I guess they're not real wise parents, I guess we might want to say, or mothers, where they hatch their ducks and where they bring them, because it's several days before they can actually fly. But Lake Pontchartrain on that railroad trestle bridge, for some reason, they like to perch up there. I mean, they're everywhere. I get reports from all over, and there's more and more of them showing up. All right, here's another text, public service announcement. The Float Fest is happening today. Four bands went on a barge with estimated 200 boats tied up on the sandbar in East Lake Pontchartrain. Good time to be had, but avoid that area if you aren't into that thing. Thanks. That's from the Colonel over in Hammond. Yeah, some people love that and they go, and other people say, oh, I want to stay away from that. All right, that's your choice. We'll be right back after this with Captain Mike Gallo. Get a fishing report on Lakes Pontchartrain, Lake Bourne, Lake Catherine, the North Biloxi Marsh, the Ship Channel. Have boat, we'll travel. He's got fishing info for you next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our Born on the Bayou report is a presentation of CETO. You know them. Some people call them AAA on the water. You call them, you radio them when you're in need, whether you need a tow, whether you need a jump start for electrical problem, maybe you ran out of fuel, they'll bring it to you. Whatever it takes to get you back to the dock and get you back fishing safely, they are there to do it. It makes a great gift, or you can get it for yourself. It's only $249. That's for an entire year, and it is renewable. And if you think that's not a good price, call the Coast Guard and find out what the cost is if you have to pay. Or even CETO if you're not a member and you have to pay them for a tow-in, and you will be amazed. All right, Captain Mike Gallo joins us now. And, Captain Mike, how's the fishing been besides hot this week?
I tell you what, Don, I was listening to you talk about our friends over at CETO just now, and I had two clients this week have problems with the heat, had heat exhaustion. And, you know, if you had a breakdown and you're stuck in that heat, that could become dangerous really fast. So CETO could be a lifesaver.
Absolutely. I'm sure that they probably have, in some instances, even saved lives, either because of the cold in hypothermic conditions, or like you say, heat exhaustion is very common. People don't stay hydrated, they don't bring the ice, and they're just not used to being out there, and they can get in trouble in a hurry. And if you got trouble with the boat, those two things is really a bad combination. Always great to have a CETO guy waiting to come get you. Well, Mike, how was the fishing this week?
Well, Don, I was listening to Robbie Campo earlier, and Robbie certainly tells it like it is. Lots and lots of 12.5 to 12 and three quarter inch trout. Just not a problem to go catch 300 a day, and you may weed through and catch 30 keeper trout if you choose to fish. And you could do that with plastics under a cork. If you choose to fish bait, there's plenty of white trout in the deeper passes in the local area, Unknown Pass, Catherine Pass, Wrigley's Pass, those deeper areas with some live or even dead bait down on the bottom will put you a fair amount of white trout in the box. The red fishing has been, I would say, a little on the slow side. Your window of opportunity is fairly small because the water temperatures are really on the high side, mid to upper 80s. They'll bite first thing in the morning, maybe till 10:30 or so, and then it's hot and they seem to disappear. If you do see them, they certainly don't want to feed. I hear we're supposed to have some rain this afternoon. That's going to be a welcome, hopefully bring our water temperatures down some and get our fish to feeding a little bit better.
Yeah, that rain is a pretty solid thing. I think that was the 50% forecast. It's going to be low chance earlier in the day, but there's going to be some pretty heavy stuff coming in later this evening along the coast. Mike, you mentioned those white trout. You know, and you don't have to worry about measuring size, count, keeping count on them. What is the general consensus on your clients? You know, speckled trout are kind of a glamorous fish. If they're catching 12 and a half or smaller trout and they have to release them, or they're given the option to go and get a bunch of white trout, what do they usually go for?
It seems to depend where you're from. And I know you know what I'm going to say.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
If they're from Louisiana or the southern part of Louisiana, they certainly prefer speckled trout. If they're from anywhere else, they don't mind the white trout at all. And the white trout are really good fish as long as you take care of them properly, have a ice and water mixture, a nice slurry, and put those fish in there immediately, get them as cold as possible. And when you clean them, throw those fillets right back into an ice water slurry, and they'll be fine. Those are good fish.
Mike, everybody is familiar with slow down your roll when you're fishing in the wintertime and it gets cold. Sometimes you just kind of dead stick it. You don't even move that bait because you'll feel that little tap, tap. Conversely, when the water is hot, and we've got some water temperatures now approaching 90 degrees, other than going deep and moving water, what other technique would you recommend for catching fish successfully when the water's real hot?
We fished all popping corks this week. The Four Horsemen style corks with those real big beads on them, and they make a lot of noise. So, you know, you look at your cork when you throw it out, but you're really fishing an area 20 feet on either side of the cork. So when you pop that cork and make that good sound, those fish are going to come to you. You're fishing a much bigger area. So you are fishing a little bit faster or maybe a little bit louder so that the fish can find you. But there's been plenty of fish. They just hadn't grown that extra, you know, half inch or quarter of an inch even for quite a few of them.
Yep, and it's worthwhile mentioning when you get into those fish like that, take real good care of them when you're releasing them. Do everything you can to make sure they're live released. And you went out with us and CCA, and we're going to be having a campaign coming on Bayou Wild TV demonstrating some of them tips, because that's our fish of the future.
That's right. I've been educating my clientele. You know, a lot of them are repeat customers, and they say, last year we could have kept this fish. I say, that's correct. But this year we let him go, and it gets a chance to lay eggs for that extra half inch in length. Might be two or three more spawning cycles for that fish, and that could be hundreds of thousands more fry in the water, long as we release them safely.
Yep, you can tell them, give me a deposit, and you come back and catch that fish next year, you can keep him.
That's right.
Mike, if somebody does want to book one of those trips with you, you're on my site, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, AAofLA.com. That's direct to you. Give them that telephone number if they want to call and check dates.
Very simple. You can reach me at 985-781-7811.
All right, and he's also got the spots in Dodge Lodge if you want to stay overnight if you're from out of town. Beautiful place. I highly recommend it. Mike, thanks for the report. As always, stay cool, and see you next week.
Thank you, Don. We'll talk to you then.
And Captain Mike Gallo, there he goes. Coming up next, we have a guest reporter for our Paddler's Report. That would be one Chris Holmes, very experienced kayak fisherman. He's got the info for you next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
And that is our lead-in theme for the Paddler's Report with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club and a presentation of Massey Outfitters. You know them, three locations, Mid-City New Orleans, Baton Rouge, North Shore on Covington. Got all those best fishing models and also tons and tons of products and accessories. But one of the things that really separates them apart from other kayak dealers is their demo days, and they've got one going on today. And join us to talk more about it is a pinch hitter for our reporters, Chris Holmes, an accomplished kayaker himself. Hey, Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Don.
Chris, talk about Massey's demo day. I think they changed the time to accommodate the heat, correct?
They did. Good advice for fishing and demo days. They moved it up 8 a.m. It's going to start this morning, end at noon in Bayou St. John, right by City Park, across in the bayou, right across from Deutsch's house. Plenty of parking along the street right there. Easy launch. We've got the kayaks up there where people can walk out. They just got to sign a waiver, put on a PFD, and step in and get to experience it right there. You know, guaranteed calm water, a little instruction if you need it. And it's a great chance to sample several different styles and models of kayaks.
Yeah, and for those who use GPS, it's 1700 Moss, and that's easy to remember, Moss Street, New Orleans, and that'll take you right there. It's easy to find. 8 to noon, about an hour and a half, it'll be getting underway, and you can try before you buy. Chris, what's your favorite kayak model?
My Hobie Outback is probably my all-time favorite. I've got models going back to about 2015, 2012, and it's just... It's changed, you know, shape and style and accessories over the years, but it's just one of the most versatile boats, inshore, offshore, freshwater, saltwater, it can do it all.
You know, Chris, today we've designated as Red Snapper Day on the show, and certainly red snappers can be caught from kayaks. In Louisiana, it's a little problematic because it's a pretty good hike to get to deep enough water to catch snapper, but you do some fishing along the Alabama-Florida coast, and from there, it's very doable. Tell us about some places you might be able to take your kayak out and catch some red snapper.
Navarre, Pensacola, all those areas. You know, the further east you go, the green, you know, bluer the water gets and cleaner the water gets, so it's a little bit better. I prefer Navarre. Navarre, their county has a great program. They put several hundred reef balls and rubble and bridge rubble and stuff out there with particularly kayakers in mind. And the reason it's so popular in area, oh, and they also put a dedicated ramp to be able to roll your kayaks up across that sand and get into the Gulf.
Wow, I love that.
The thing about that area is you got to remember you've got Pensacola Pass, and then the next pass into the Gulf is Destin for the boats. So you're kind of smack in the middle right there where these guys would have to come out the pass with their boats run 10, 15 miles parallel, you know, and they don't like to do that. They want to get out and head for deeper waters and stuff. So that's what makes it in particular such a great kayaking area I mean, obviously snapper, but trolling for king mackerel, you know, all kind of other, you know, reef fish, bottom fish, sailfish. You know, we've had a couple caught already this year from the kayakers over there.
Yeah, it's great to go over there, and you get into that deeper water that holds all those different species of offshore fish. Great way to do it. I wouldn't suggest it this weekend because they're going to have a little weather issue coming up over there. Outside of that, they don't have oil rigs, so they put down reef balls and artificial reefs to attract the fish, which is wonderful. How about a little bit of a local report? If I know fishing's tough, it's hot, particularly if you're paddling a kayak, you can work up a sweat real quick. Maybe give us one spot where you might suggest the greatest amount of success that's not too far of a pedal or a paddle.
You know, we've still been catching a few fish in Delacroix and in Shell Beach. You know, one of the things about Shell Beach particularly, you got access to deeper water. You got the ship channel right there. You've got Bayou Iklowski. You got Lake Bourne, you know, on the right days and stuff. And you got some grass cover. You know, the grass didn't come back this year like it had before. But if you can find some of that grass on the edges of those deep water and fish those troughs, get down, you find a little bit cooler water because it is definitely in the 90s. You know, for the water. So, again, with the rain was knocking it down, keeping everybody out. But, yeah, and the same advice, you know, some of the other guests were sharing is get out early, and even more important in a kayak because you got the physical aspect to it. You know, you're not just rodding, and you can't start up the motor. Let's take a rod and cool off a little bit. It doesn't work that way.
Exactly. Chris, thanks for a great job filling in for Eric. We really appreciate it.
No problem. And I know you mentioned it, but just remind everybody about Ride the Bull coming up. We're well, a couple hundred already signed up and always growing.
Easiest way to sign up?
Go to the CCA website. You can look them up. CCA, Ride the Bull has a Facebook page also.
All right. Hopefully they'll catch some of those big bulls, and we can – actually, the RFRI's got a permit to keep them, you know, strictly catch and release now. But those will be some brood stock for some fish that will be released later on. And
that's
back in
perfect. An added bonus.
Yes, indeed. Thanks again, Chris. Hope to see you soon.
Bye, Don. Have a good day.
All right. Chris Holmes filling in for Eric Mahabarak with our Paddler's Report. All right. You know what's next. It's Bad Boy of the Outdoors time. And, of course, today being Red Snapper Day designated on the show, we got a case of a Red Snapper Napper. Next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right. Taking a look at our text message board, the Jason and the crew at Corey's Barbershop in Covington up and listening. Glad to have y'all with us. Okay. The Worm is weighing in on the Whistling Ducks. He said he heard the Whistling Ducks found out we have open borders. Well, if that's the case, that might be the only good thing Brandon has done for us. All right, here's one that says the Whistlers live in the Chalmette Refinery in the pipes. Yeah, you know, studying wildlife is my whole life. It's interesting to see how they behave. You know, wild animals, wild ducks, don't do the same thing as ducks that are not hunted. And Whistlers, because they enjoy protection during the early times when they're here, like during teal season in the summers, they become very docile and do things that wild animals would never do. All right, the Lafayette Yacker says he missed raccoon feet, Eric Mohabarak. That's his nickname, but Chris, he was waiting for Chris to give us some good info, which he certainly did. And here's one from the Lafayette area listening. Increasing minimum length and decreasing limits on fish is like raising taxes. They never go back to where they were. Well, I got to tell you, that's generally the case. I agree with you. But look at our red snapper. We were down to one fish, two fish, closed seasons. And because of good management practices, now we've got we started with a 7-day-a-week season. Now it's 3-day-a-week. Limit is 4, minimum inch 16 inches. So the snapper did make a comeback, and they did increase the limits. Of course, not to where it was at one time, and that's probably never going to happen. But in most cases, I agree with you. Once they cut the size and the limits, it generally does not go back. And here's a question. Do you think Department of Wildlife and Fisheries should not let foxes run wild in Baton Rouge and other areas? I don't know how they would control that. Foxes don't seem to be as harmful as coyotes. Very secretive. They don't really pack up and attack pets and that type of thing. But certainly if they become problematic in urban areas like in Baton Rouge, they do have removal teams that can do that and put wildlife, catching them and release them and areas that are better suited for them. All right, we got some more texts coming in. We'll get to those later, but right now I'm going to pause a quick 10 seconds because on the other side on this Red Snapper Day, we got a bad boy story, a Red Snapper kidnapper. He's next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, on Tuesday, July 20th, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery Enforcement Agents Corporal Michael Treadway and Lieutenant Bo Robertson received an anonymous tip, which starts so many of these stories, concerned citizens calling or texting in the tip line. This one was about an offshore boat coming into Vermilion Pass, dropping off several bags of red snapper on the bank and leaving. The agents responded to where the red snapper were dropped, set up surveillance on the area, and later observed Viet Nguyen get out of a vehicle, make a beeline straight for the snapper on the bank. The agents then made contact with Nguyen after he retrieved the red snapper and was walking back to the vehicle. The agents found Nguyen in possession of 24 gutted red snapper and 9 sets of red snapper fillets, which put him 29 over his legal limit. Of the 33 total, 29 of them were under the 16-inch minimum size. The agents seized the red snapper, donated them to a local charity, which I'm sure was delighted to have them. If convicted of undersized and over limit of red snapper, intentional concealment, filleting fish on the water, paying back civil restitution, facing up to 120 days in jail, and total fines in the amount of $2,918, is 63-year-old Viet Nguyen of Abbeville, Louisiana, our bad boy of the outdoors. Hey, never end, folks. It never ends. That feature will be on as long as I am. It'll never go away because there's always going to be bad boys and girls. All right, here's some more text messages coming in. Without freshwater diversions, fish and brown shrimp need a place to spawn. Plaquemines Parish, they can't live in Gulf water. When will people find this out? Jeff from Arpaugh says, maybe a dumb question, but there's any way to tell male from female redfish? It's not a dumb question. The only way I know is you can't tell by looking at them alive. They have to be opened up, and you can tell by the organs inside whether it's a male or female. Other than that, I don't know any other way. I've heard some jokes about how you can tell, but that's not for now. All right, here's one says, before they blocked off the river, the fish were so plentiful you could load a boat. Limits won't do it. And that's from our text to 2553. All right, we got a break coming up, and we take that, and then when we come back on the backside, the guy we call the Plastic Man, we'll find out where the heck he is. We ought to change the name of that feature to Where in the World is Ryan Lambert? We'll find out next and get some good fishing info after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And the Plastic Man is getting the boat ready for a day on the water, and we'll find out where he's headed and what he's going to try to catch, and maybe you can take some of that information to heart and put it to your own use. Captain Ryan, good morning. Where are you going?
Good morning, buddy. Today, again, it's going to be mangroves, snappers, triple-tailed, and cobias.
Ooh, I love to hear that. How far out you got to go?
Last
to
2 days, that's what I did.
You're becoming an offshore captain.
Near-shore captain. I don't ever let it lose the sight of land.
All right, now, are you using those stinky old pogies or squid to catch them, or are you going plastic?
Yeah, pogies. I stopped through the net twice and filled both live wells up.
Yeah, that's great.
So,
yeah,
there's so many pogies, that's unbelievable. And I had to pass a lot of trout to go, too, because the trout was burning the birds up, and my guys wanted to go out there. I said, oh, look at the trout, guys. So I called the other guys, and they went and whacked them.
Yeah.
That's a good thing about having 12 guides, huh?
Absolutely. Well, triple tail and lemon fish, that ain't bad at all. What size are those triple tail?
We're going after that today. I haven't gone after. Somebody had a 33 yesterday.
Woo, that's a monster.
That's a big, big, big old triple tail. If I could catch 5 of them, that's plenty enough. I don't want to kill too many of them.
Now, how are they catching them? Are y'all fishing some structure floating stuff out there that they're hanging
out? Yeah, we'll fish whatever we can find. You know, even if I go by a line or lilies in the water, when I pass everything, I'm looking to see if they're there. And I'll go that. But I had a limit of mangroves day before yesterday and turned back 15 snappers. And then yesterday we caught a limit of snappers and about, I guess, 15 mangroves and three cobias. So it's been real good.
Yeah, that's definitely good.
I had a big northwest on the east side, so the guys on the east side didn't do well. But the west side was calm. So, you know, it's good to be like we are.
Right. 12 guides and two sides of a river with a levee in the middle that you can, you know, pick the sides you want to fish on. You know, the mangrove snapper is a real finicky fish. How are y'all fishing them?
Yeah. Well, I started off with a jig head because it was all in about 15 foot of water, just 15 to 20. And, you know, I look at them on the depth finder, and I would put a jig head down to get it down that way. Then once they get finicky, and you know, once the sun comes up good and they get finicky, I put a number one hook, a little bitty hook, with a split shot above it, and I put that hook all up in that pogie's mouth and just come out the top of his head to where they can't see it, and I just drift it down there, whang.
So, now, you fishing on a rig structure or just a reef? Or
yeah, rigs for mangroves.
Yeah.
And the red snappers, too, and I'm only in... You know, I'm shallow, comparatively speaking, where I know a lot of people caught me in 450 foot of water yesterday, but I'm shallow. I'm 50 foot of water.
Yeah, well, that's good. And, you know, the thing about it is you can't go under gun for snapper because that is a powerful fish. And once they feel that hook, they head straight for that rig to wrap you up and break you off.
You can get under gun really quick. They're so powerful. Oh, my gosh. And then the sharks, there's so many sharks. You know, we caught a bunch of sharks yesterday. But it's just fun. They kept me out too long. I'm old. They don't know that he's wearing me out.
Supposed
to day, and they kept saying, one more. I said, one more, I'm going to be dead.
Oh, yeah. Sound like y'all having fun down there. Well, listen, I've been taking.
Storms on the west today.
Yeah, and later this evening, so y'all need to get it done and get on in. You know, you got a great recipe called Redfish Ryan, which I've enjoyed down at the Cajun Fishing Lodge. Do you think that would work with red snapper? What do you do with snapper, either mangrove or
without
red
a doubt. Well, I like either to crust the snapper and cook it down and just, you know, pan fry it like that. With really not even pan fried, just a little olive oil and butter. Or I like to maniere it, where I take it and just dredge it in flour real quick, just dry. Then I'll put it in olive oil and butter, just enough to get the bottom of the pan going. And then I'll brown it on one side. Then once I flip it over, I hit it with the Tony's, lemon and pepper, and granulated garlic, and then a Worcestershire sauce. A good bit amount of Worcestershire sauce, more than you would think. Uh-huh. You put it last because it starts getting burnt and blackened up real quick. But after that, just turn it over, put it in your plate, and oh, my word.
Yeah.
I do trout like that. I do snappers like that. That's what we're going to do tonight, actually. And you know what? I did shrimp like that last week for some folks. You would not believe we get some big 10-15s in Manierum. Oh, that was so good.
Yeah, you guys really struggle down
there. Now you see why I'm so fat, huh?
Oh, man, y'all eat like Spartans there. You know, you just don't have any good food down there, you know?
We're so fortunate to be where we are and doing what we want, man. I tell you what.
Absolutely.
We have been blessed in our world, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Well, you should be spotting some teal sometime soon, too, now. The early scouts ought to be down there.
Yep, that, and I gotta start building blinds and getting ready for that.
Yep.
No rest for the weary, my friend.
I know what you mean.
I'm going to Noliasi next week or the week after, on the 15th. I'm going down there and get my eye right on some white wings.
All right.
Make sure I can hit them when they come.
Yeah, I think you can. I think you'll remember. You didn't forget how to lead them. Oh, by the way, I wanted to ask you, do you use that Carlson tube, Joe, on the doves, too, or just the ducks?
I try to use the two on the doves.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Rob Roberts T2.
You're right.
And it works good. But that T3, and now they got another one, a Raptor, I think. I haven't used it yet, but if it gets tighter than the T3, it's not even fair anymore.
Yeah. Well, since I got that Rob Roberts joke, it certainly improved that little Beretta I got, on the ducks. And I'm thinking I'm going to go with it for the doves, too, because I just don't think when you get out there, you know, 40, 50 yards with those regular chokes, they just don't have enough BBs.
Oh, no.
They're too spread
out. But you get up there with that T3, you can hit a duck at 60 yards, no problem. I mean, if you can hit. But, that T2 is really good, too, and I'll be throwing that around for doves. Yep. I'll take it with me.
All right, well, I got something else I need to talk to you off air. I'll call you later when you get back in this evening.
Okay, sounds great.
All right, take it easy. Captain Ryan Lambert, check him out at Cajun Fishing Adventures, and he's always available on the cell phone at 504-559-5111. All right, come.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
All right, taking a look at our text message board, the Jason and the crew at Corey's Barbershop in Covington, up and listening. Glad to have y'all with us. Okay, the Worm is weighing in on the Whistling Ducks. He said he heard the Whistling Ducks found out we have open borders. Well, if that's the case, that might be the only good thing Brandon has done for us. All right, here's one that says the Whistlers live in the Chalmette Refinery in the pipes. Yeah, you know, studying wildlife is my whole life. It's interesting to see how they behave. You know, wild animals, wild ducks, don't do the same thing as ducks that are not hunted. And Whistlers, because they enjoy protection during the early times when they're here, like during teal season in the summers, they become very docile and do things that wild animals would never do. All right, the Lafayette Yacker says he missed Raccoon Feet, Eric Mohabarak. That's his nickname. But Chris, he was waiting for Chris to give us some good info, which he certainly did. And here's one from a Lafayette area listener. Increasing minimum length and decreasing limits on fish is like raising taxes. They never go back to where they were. Well, I got to tell you, that's generally the case. I agree with you. But look at our red snapper. We were down to one fish, two fish, closed seasons. And because of good management practices, now we've got we started with a 7-day-a-week season. Now it's 3-day-a-week. Limit is 4, minimum is 16 inches. So the snapper did make a comeback, and they did increase the limits. Of course, not to where it was at one time, and that's probably never going to happen. But in most cases, I agree with you. Once they cut the size and the limits, it generally does not go back. And here's a question. Do you think Department of Wildlife and Fisheries should not let foxes run wild in Baton Rouge and other areas? I don't know how they would control that. Foxes don't seem to be as harmful as coyotes. Very secretive. They don't really pack up and attack pets and that type of thing. But certainly if they become problematic in urban areas like in Baton Rouge, they do have removal teams that can do that and put wildlife, catching them and release them and areas that are better suited for them. All right, we got some more texts coming in. We'll get to those later, but right now I'm going to pause a quick 10 seconds because on the other side on this Red Snapper Day, we got a bad boy story, a Red Snapper kidnapper. He's next on the Outdoors with Don DeBute Radio Network. Well, on Tuesday, July 20th, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery Enforcement Agents Corporal Michael Treadway and Lieutenant Bo Robertson received an anonymous tip, which starts so many of these stories, concerned citizens calling or texting in the tip line. This one was about an offshore boat coming into Vermilion Pass, dropping off several bags of red snapper on the bank and leaving. The agents responded to where the red snapper were dropped, set up surveillance on the area, and later observed Viet Nguyen get out of a vehicle, make a beeline straight for the snapper on the bank. The agents then made contact with Nguyen after he retrieved the red snapper and was walking back to the vehicle. The agents found Nguyen in possession of 24 gutted red snapper and 9 sets of red snapper fillets, which put him 29 over his legal limit. Of the 33 total, 29 of them were under the 16-inch minimum size. The agents seized the red snapper, donated them to a local charity, which I'm sure was delighted to have them. If convicted of undersized and over limit of red snapper, intentional concealment, filleting fish on the water, paying back civil restitution, facing up to 120 days in jail, and total fines in the amount of $2,918, is 63-year-old Viet Nguyen of Abbeville, Louisiana, our bad boy of the outdoors. Hey, never end, folks. It never ends. That feature will be on as long as I am. It'll never go away because there's always going to be bad boys and girls. All right, here's some more text messages coming in. Without freshwater diversions, fish and brown shrimp need a place to spawn. Plaquemines Parish, they can't live in Gulf water. When will people find this out? Jeff from Arpaugh says, maybe a dumb question, but there's any way to tell male from female redfish? It's not a dumb question. The only way I know is you can't tell by looking at them alive. They have to be opened up, and you can tell by the organs inside whether it's a male or female. Other than that, I don't know any other way. I've heard some jokes about how you can tell, but that's not for now. All right, here's one says, before they blocked off the river, the fish were so plentiful you could load a boat. Limits won't do it. And that's from our text at 2553. All right, we got a break coming up, and we take that, and then when we come back on the backside, the guy we call the Plastic Man, we'll find out where the heck he is. We ought to change the name of that feature to Where in the World is Ryan Lambert? We'll find out next and get some good fishing info after this time out on the Outdoors with Don DeBute Radio Network. And the Plastic Man is getting the boat ready for a day on the water, and we'll find out where he's headed and what he's going to try to catch, and maybe you can take some of that information to heart and put it to your own use. Captain Ryan, good morning. Where are you going?
Good morning, buddy. Today, again, it's going to be mangroves, snappers, triple-tailed, and cobias.
Ooh, I love to hear that. How far out you got to go?
Last 2 days, that's what I did.
You becoming an offshore captain.
Near shore captain. I don't ever let it lose the sight of land.
Are now you using those stinky old pogies or squid to catch them, or are you going plastic?
Pogies. I stopped through the net twice and filled both live wells up.
Yeah, that's great.
So,
yeah,
there's so many pogies, that's unbelievable. And I had to pass a lot of trout to go, too, because the trout was burning the birds up, and my guys wanted to go out there. I said, oh, look at the trout, guys. So I called the other guys, and they went and whacked them.
Yeah.
That's a good thing about having 12 guides, huh?
Absolutely. Well, triple tail and lemon fish, that ain't bad at all. What size are those triple tail?
We're going after that today. I haven't gone after. Somebody had a 33 yesterday.
Woo, that's a monster.
That's a big, big, big old triple tail. If I could catch 5 of them, that's plenty enough. I don't want to kill too many of them.
Now, how are they catching them? Are y'all fishing some structure floating stuff out there that they're hanging
up
on?
Yeah, we'll fish whatever we can find. You know, even if I go by a line or lilies in the water, when I pass everything, I'm looking to see if they're there. And I'll go that. But I had a limit of mangroves day before yesterday and turned back 15 snappers. And then yesterday we caught a limit of snappers and about, I guess, 15 mangroves and three cobias. So it's been real good.
Yeah, that's definitely good.
I had a big northwest on the east side, so the guys on the east side didn't do well.
But the west side was calm. So, you know, it's good to be like we are.
Right. 12 guides and two sides of a river with a levee in the middle that you can, you know, pick the side you want to fish on. The mangrove snapper is a real finicky fish. How are y'all fishing them?
Yeah. Well, I started off with a jig head because it was all in about 15 foot of water, just 15 to 20. And, you know, I look at them on the depth finder, and I would put a jig head down to get it down that way. Then once they get finicky, and you know, once the sun comes up good and they get finicky, I put a number one hook, a little bitty hook with a split shot above it, and I put that hook all up in that pogie's mouth and just come out the top of his head to where they can't see it, and I just drift it down there, whang.
So, now, you fishing on a rig structure or just a reef? Or
yeah, rigs for mangroves.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
and the red snappers, too, and I'm only in... You know, I'm shallow, comparatively speaking, where I know a lot of people caught me in 450 foot of water yesterday, but I'm shallow. I'm 50 foot of water.
Yeah, well, that's good. And, you know, the thing about it is you can't go under gun for snapper because that is a powerful fish. And once they feel that hook, they head straight for that rig to wrap you up and break you off.
You can get under gun really quick. They're so powerful. Oh, my gosh. And then the sharks, there's so many sharks. You know, we caught a bunch of sharks yesterday. But it's just fun. They kept me out too long. I'm old. They don't know that he's wearing me out. Most of the day, and they kept saying, one more. I said, one more, I'm going to be dead.
Sound like y'all having fun down there. Well, listen, I've been taking
storms on the west today.
Yeah, and later this evening, so y'all need to get it done and get on in. You know, you got a great recipe called Redfish Ryan, which I've enjoyed down at the Cajun Fishing Lodge. Do you think that would work with red snapper? What do you do with snapper, either mangrove or red snapper?
Oh, without a doubt. Well, I like either to crust the snapper and cook it down and just, you know, pan fry it like that. With really not even pan fry, just a little olive oil and butter. Or I like to maniere it, where I take it and just dredge it in flour real quick, just dry. Then I'll put it in olive oil and butter, just enough to get the bottom of the pan going. Then I'll brown it on one side. Then once I flip it over, I hit it with the Tony's, lemon and pepper, and granulated garlic, and then a Worcestershire sauce. A good bit amount of Worcestershire sauce, more than you would think. Uh-huh. You put it last because it starts getting burnt and blackened up real quick. But after that, just turn it over, put it in your plate, and oh, my word.
Yeah.
I do trout like that. I do snappers like that. And that's what we're going to do tonight, actually. And you know what? I did shrimp like that last week for some folks. You would not believe we get some big 10, 15s in Manierum. Oh, that was so good.
Yeah, you guys really struggle down
there. Now you see why I'm so fat, huh?
Oh, man, y'all eat like Spartans there. You know, you just don't have any good food down there, you know?
We're so fortunate to be where we are and doing what we want, man. I'll tell you what.
Absolutely.
We have been blessed in our world, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Well, you should be spotting some teal sometime soon, too, now. Early scouts ought to be down here.
Yep, that, and I got to start building blinds and getting ready for that.
Yep.
No rest for the weary, my friend.
I know what you mean.
I'm going to Noliasi next week or the week after, on the 15th. I'm going down there and get my eye right on some white wings.
All right.
Make sure I can hit them when they come.
Yeah, I think you can. I think you'll remember. You didn't forget how to lead them. Oh, by the way, I wanted to ask you, do you use that Carlson tube choke on the doves, too, or just the ducks?
I try to use the two on the doves.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Rob Roberts T2.
Right.
And it works good. But that T3, and now they got another one, a Raptor, I think. I haven't used it yet, but if it gets tighter than the T3, it's not even fair anymore.
Yeah. Well, since I got that Rob Roberts choke, it certainly improved that little Beretta I got, on the ducks. And I'm thinking I'm going to go with it for the doves, too, because I just don't think when you get out there, you know, 40, 50 yards with those regular chokes, they just don't have enough BBs.
Oh, no.
They're too
spread.
But
you get up there with that T3, you can hit a duck at 60 yards, no problem. I mean, if you can hit. But, that T2 is really good, too, and I'll be throwing that around for doves. Yep. I'll take it with me.
All right, well, I got something else I need to talk to you off air. I'll call you later when you get back in this evening.
Okay, sounds great.
All right, take it easy. Captain Ryan Lambert, check him out at Cajun Fishing Adventures, and he's always available on the cell phone at 504-559-5111. All right, coming back after this, it's time to wrap it up. Red Snapper Day on the Outdoor Show. We've got time for a last-minute text with some recipes or reports. We'd love to have you checking in with us. It's 504-260-1870. All right, kind of wrapping up our Red Snapper program this morning, and thanks for all of you who participated. We did get that question on distinguishing male redfish from female, and I got a text that reminded me that the male drum, both the red and the black drum, croakers, trout, which are actually members of the drum family, it surprises a lot of people, speckled and white, the male do make a drumming sound that the females don't do. So if you hear them grunting or drumming, then yes, that would be a male fish. Also, during the spawning season, a lot of times when you first bring a male fish into the boat, it will eject sperm out, just kind of a reaction. And that way, the females, of course, obviously don't do that. So that's another way you can tell. But I'm not really sure why it would be important to distinguish a male from a female when it comes to those species. All right, anyway, I got some more. One says, oil and gas platforms. Why do you call them rigs? Well, it's just a synonym. It's another name for a oil or gas platform. It's a structure, and they're called rigs by some people and sometimes platforms, but then it's interchangeable. If you hear somebody mention a platform or a rig, it's basically the same thing. All right, here's one, Don. How do you feel about diversion? Freshwater diversion. How many hours do you have? It's not a simple topic, but I'll try to give you a simple answer. Just like I talked about when you go fishing, when you go to war, bring all your weapons. I believe all the weapons against diversion are needed, which would be rocks, dredging and filling, freshwater diversion to provide nutrients as a maintenance. But most of all, it takes money, and I don't see it. We're going to be running out of BP funds before most of the diversion projects that are planned are completed. I don't think the rest of the country, although they feel sorry for us, I don't think they want to put up their tax money. I think the oil and gas revenues, which are GOMESA money, which is put into combating coastal erosion, the rest of the states want to take that money when we bear the brunt of the oil and gas industry, the damage that it does to the coastline. Basically, I'm a realist, I'm a pragmatic, and I don't believe we're going to save the coast. I think it's too little, too late. Certainly, if there were enough money, yeah, look what they did in Dubai. It would be possible, but I don't see it happening. I think we're going to lose more land eventually than we construct. There's also some other factors, mitigating factors, subsidence, where it's not only being eroded, it's sinking. It's being saltwater intrusion, which is eating away at the coast. I think we're fighting a losing battle, but I think the fight is probably worth doing. There's a lot of money being spent, and there's a good argument that maybe relocation would be a better use of the money than trying to save the coast. But it's a sad situation, it is. But again, taking a realistic approach to it. But that's basically in a nutshell. But, I mean, it's a very complicated subject, and we could talk for hours and hours about it. All right, here's one that says, Don, enjoyed your substitution talk show this past week. I can remember when you did that as a Friday weekly for Garland Robinette. Yeah, going back, I did it for Bob Del Giorno, too. In fact, you're going to hear me on our flagship station. I am going to be guest hosting the Morning Drive show, the Tommy Tucker show, on our flagship station, WWL AM and FM 105.3, next Tuesday through Friday. And the guy that's pushing all the control buttons right now, Cullen Steele, he's going to be with me. We're going to be working as a team from Tuesday to Friday next week, and then the following Monday, I'll be on from 6 to 10 a.m. Sorry, don't expect a lot of outdoor talk like we do on Saturday mornings. There will be political talk. There'll be some social issues brought up. Whatever happens to break on a Morning Drive show, we'll be talking about it. So hope you'll tune in, participate. The phone lines will be open for you. Text line will be open, too, and I hope you do that. Next week on this show, I'm going to try to get her. Hopefully, I can get her. Julie Grunwald, girl, a lady that does just a fantastic job with the Louisiana Hunters for the Hungry. We got Clean Out Your Freezer Day coming up, and it's not only a Clean Out Your Day, it goes on for a couple of weeks. It starts around the earliest collection site in Louisiana, I think is the 12th, which is a Monday, and it goes through later into the month. I'll be manning one in Slidell at the Rouse's on Gauze Boulevard from 1 to 4 on Sunday, the August the 18th, and hopefully you'll come by. Say hello. Bring me some wild game of any type. They take ducks. They take deer, venison. Now they can accept hogs. Hopefully it'll be processed and wrapped with a date on it. If you've had sausage made and your freezer's still full or half full and you say, man, I'm getting ready to do some fall fishing and the hunting season's coming up, I got to make some room in this freezer. There's no better way to clean out your freezer than by donating it to Hunters for the Hungry. They serve it at food banks all across the state. There's a dire need, and as the economy gets tighter and tighter, there's more and more people need assistance, a lot of times through no fault of their own. They're going through some tough times, and it's certainly welcome when they hold some of these events where they distribute the food to them or to the food banks, which in turn cooks it and serves up some wonderful wild game and seafood dishes. So if you can spare it, and a lot of people, they just come to the store. You can walk in Rouse's, go to the meat counter, pick something up, and come out and drop it off. We'll have ice chests out there. We're going to have some caps and fishing towels and some giveaway stuff from Hunters from the Hungry, and we'll talk more about it. If you want to find out where there's one near you, go to cleanoutyourfreezerday.com. You'll find all the details right there. All right, hope you enjoyed today's show, and we love having you here. We invite you to come on back again next week. We do it every Saturday morning, 5 to 7 a.m., 52 weeks a year. We're starting our 36th year of this program called The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And the Plastic Man is getting the boat ready for a day on the water, and we'll find out where he's headed and what he's going to try to catch, and maybe you can take some of that information to heart and put it to your own use. Captain Ryan, good morning. Where are you going?
Good morning, buddy. Today, again, it's going to be mangroves, snappers, triple-tailed, and cobias.
Ooh, I love to hear that. How far out you got to go?
Last 2 days, that's what I did.
You're becoming an offshore captain.
Near shore, Captain. I don't ever let it lose the sight of land.
Are now you using those stinky old pogies or squid to catch them, or are you going plastic?
Yeah, pogies. I stopped through the net twice and filled both live wells up.
Yeah, that's great.
So,
yeah,
there's so many pogies, that's unbelievable. And I had to pass a lot of trout to go, too, because the trout was burning the birds up, and my guys wanted to go out there. I said, oh, look at the trout, guys. So I called the other guys, and they went and whacked them.
Yeah.
That's a good thing about having 12 guys, huh?
Absolutely. Well, triple tail and lemon fish, that ain't bad at all. What size are those triple tail?
We're going after that today. I haven't gone after. Somebody had a 33 yesterday.
Woo, that's a monster.
That's a big, big, big old triple tail. If I could catch five of them, that's plenty enough. I don't want to kill too many of them.
Now, how are they catching them? Are y'all fishing some structure floating stuff out there that they're hanging
out? Yeah, we'll fish whatever we can find. You know, even if I go by a line or lilies in the water, when I pass everything, I'm looking to see if they're there. And I'll go that. But I had a limit of mangroves day before yesterday and turned back 15 snappers. And then yesterday we caught a limit of snappers and about, I guess, 15 mangroves and three cobias. So it's been real good.
Yeah, that's definitely good.
I had a big northwest on the east side, so the guys on the east side didn't do well. Uh-huh. But the west side was calm. So, you know, it's good to be like we are.
Right. 12 guides and two sides of a river with a levee in the middle that you can, you know, pick the side you want to fish on. You know, the mangrove snapper is a real finicky fish. How are y'all fishing them?
Yeah. Well, I started off with a jig head because it was all in about 15 foot of water, just 15 to 20. And, you know, I look at them on the depth finder, and I would put a jig head down to get it down that way. Then once they get finicky, and, you know, once the sun comes up good and they get finicky, I put a number one hook, a little bitty hook with a split shot above it, and I put that hook all up in that pogie's mouth and just come out the top of his head to where they can't see it. And I just drift it down there, whang.
So, now, you fishing on a rig structure or just a reef? Or
yeah, rigs for mangroves.
Yeah.
And the red snappers, too. And I'm only in,
you know, I'm shallow comparatively speaking, where I know a lot of people caught me in 450 foot of water yesterday, but I'm shallow. I'm 50 foot of water.
Yeah, well, that's good. And, you know, the thing about it is you can't go under gun for snapper because that is a powerful fish. And once they feel that hook, they head straight for that rig to wrap you up and break you off.
You can get under gun really quick. They're so powerful. Oh, my gosh. And then the sharks, there's so many sharks. You know, we caught a bunch of sharks yesterday. But it's just fun. They kept me out too long. I'm old. They don't know that he's wearing me out.
Yeah,
and they kept saying, one more. I said, one more, I'm going to be dead.
Oh, yeah, sound like y'all having fun down there. Well, yeah, listen, I've been taking
storms on the west today.
Yeah, and later this evening, so y'all need to get it done and get on in. You know, you got a great recipe called Redfish Ryan, which I've enjoyed down at the Cajun Fishing Lodge. Do you think that would work with red snapper? What do you do with snapper, either mangroves or
without
red
snapper? Without a doubt. Well, I like either to crust the snapper and cook it down and just, you know, pan fry it like that, with really not even pan fry, just a little olive oil and butter. Or I like to maniere it, where I take it and just dredge it in flour real quick, just dry. Then I'll put it in olive oil and butter, just enough to get the bottom of the pan going. And then I'll brown it on one side. Then once I flip it over, I hit it with the Tony's, lemon and pepper, and granulated garlic, and then a Worcestershire sauce. A good bit amount of Worcestershire sauce, more than you would think. Uh-huh. You put it last because it starts getting burnt and blackened up real quick. But after that, just turn it over, put it in your plate, and oh, my word.
Yeah.
I do trout like that. I do snappers like that. That's what we're going to do tonight, actually. And you know what? I did shrimp like that last week for some folks. You would not believe we get some big 10-15s in maniere them. Oh, it feels so good.
Yeah, you guys really struggle down there.
Now you see why I'm so fat, huh?
Oh, man, y'all eat like Spartans there. You know, you just don't have any good food down there, you know?
We're so fortunate to be where we are and doing what we want, man. I tell you what.
Absolutely.
We have been blessed in our world, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Well, you should be spotting some teal sometime soon, too, now. Early scouts ought to be down here.
Yep, that, and I got to start building blinds and getting ready for that.
Yep.
No rest for the weary, my friend.
I know what you mean.
I'm going to Noliasi next week or the week after, on the 15th. I'm going down there and get my eye right on some white wings.
All right.
Make sure I can hit them when they come.
Yeah, I think you can. I think you'll remember. You didn't forget how to lead them. Oh, by the way, I wanted to ask you, do you use that Carlson tube joke on the doves too, or just the ducks?
I try to use the two on the doves.
Mm-hmm.
So Rob Roberts T2.
You're right.
And it works good. But that T3, and now they got another one, a Raptor, I think. I haven't used it yet, but if it gets tighter than the T3, it's not even fair anymore.
Yeah. Well, since I got that Rob Roberts joke, it certainly improved that little Beretta I got, on the ducks. And I'm thinking I'm going to go with it for the doves, too, because I just don't think when you get out there, you know, 40, 50 yards with those regular chokes, they just don't have enough BBs.
Oh, no.
They're too
spread. But you get
out
there with that T3, you can hit a duck at 60 yards, no problem. I mean, if you can hit. But that T2 is really good, too, and I'll be throwing that around for doves. Yep. I'll take it with me.
All right, well, I got something else I need to talk to you off air. I'll call you later when you get back in this evening.
Okay, sounds great.
All right, take it easy. Captain Ryan Lambert, check him out at Cajun Fishing Adventures, and he's always available on the cell phone at 504-559-5111. All right, coming back after this, it's time to wrap it up. Red Snapper Day on the Outdoor Show. We've got time for a last-minute text with some recipes or reports. We love to have you checking in with us. It's 504-260-1870. All right, kind of wrapping up our Red Snapper program this morning, and thanks for all of you who participated. We did get that question on the distinguishing male redfish from female, and I got a text that reminded me that the male drum, both the red and the black drum, croakers, trout, which are actually members of the drum family, it surprises a lot of people, speckled and white, the male do make a drumming sound that the females don't do. So if you hear them grunting or drumming, then yes, that would be a male fish. Also, during the spawning season, a lot of times when you first bring a male fish into the boat, it will eject sperm out, just kind of a reaction. And that way, the females, of course, obviously don't do that. So that's another way you can tell. But I'm not really sure why it would be important to distinguish a male from a female. when it comes to those species. All right, anyway, I got some more. One says, oil and gas platforms, why do you call them rigs? Well, it's just a synonym. It's another name for a oil or gas platform. It's a structure, and they're called rigs by some people and sometimes platforms, but then it's interchangeable. If you hear somebody mention a platform or a rig, it's basically the same thing. All right, here's one, Don. How do you feel about diversion, freshwater diversion? How many hours do you have? It's not a simple topic, but I'll try to give you a simple answer. Just like I talked about when you go fishing, when you go to war, bring all your weapons. I believe all the weapons against diversion are needed, which would be rocks, dredging and filling, freshwater diversion to provide nutrients as a maintenance. But most of all, it takes money, and I don't see it. We're going to be running out of BP funds before most of the diversion projects that are planned are completed. I don't think the rest of the country, although they feel sorry for us, I don't think they want to put up their tax money. I think the oil and gas revenues, which are GOMESA money, which is put into combating coastal erosion, the rest of the states want to take that money when we bear the brunt of the oil and gas industry, the damage that it does to the coastline. Basically, I'm a realist, I'm a pragmatic, and I don't believe we're going to save the coast. I think it's too little, too late. Certainly, if there were enough money, yeah, look what they did in Dubai. It would be possible, but I don't see it happening. I think we're going to lose more land eventually than we construct. There's also some other factors, mitigating factors, subsidence, where it's not only being eroded, it's sinking, it's being saltwater intrusion, which is eating away at the coast. I think we're fighting a losing battle, but I think the fight is probably worth doing. There's a lot of money being spent, and there's a good argument that maybe relocation would be a better use of the money than trying to save the coast. But it's a sad situation, it is. But again, taking a realistic approach to it. But that's basically in a nutshell. But I mean, it's a very complicated subject, and we could talk for hours and hours about it. All right, here's one that says, Don, enjoyed your substitution talk show this past week. I can remember when you did that as a Friday weekly for Garland Robinette. Yeah, going back, I did it for Bob Del Giorno, too. In fact, you're going to hear me on our flagship station. I am going to be guest hosting the Morning Drive show, the Tommy Tucker show, on our flagship station, WWL AM and FM 105.3, next Tuesday through Friday. And the guy that's pushing all the control buttons right now, Cullen Steele, he's going to be with me. We're going to be working as a team from Tuesday to Friday next week, and then the following Monday I'll be on from 6 to 10 a.m. Sorry, don't expect a lot of outdoor talk like we do on Saturday mornings. There will be political talk. There'll be some social issues brought up. Whatever happens to break on a Morning Drive show, we'll be talking about it. So hope you'll tune in, participate. The phone lines will be open for you. Text line will be open, too, and I hope you do that. Next week on this show, I'm going to try to get her. Hopefully, I can get her. Julie Grunwald, a lady that does just a fantastic job with the Louisiana Hunters for the Hungry. We got Clean Out Your Freezer Day coming up, and it's not only a Clean Out Your Day, it goes on for a couple of weeks. It starts around the earliest collection site in Louisiana, I think is the 12th, which is a Monday, and it goes through later into the month. I'll be manning one in Slidell at the Rouse's on Gauze Boulevard from 1 to 4 on Sunday, the August the 18th, and hopefully you'll come by. Say hello, bring me some wild game of any type. They take ducks, they take deer, venison. Now they can accept hogs. Hopefully it'll be processed and wrapped with a date on it. If you've had sausage made and your freezer's still full or half full and you say, man, I'm getting ready to do some fall fishing and the hunting season's coming up, I got to make some room in this freezer. There's no better way to clean out your freezer than by donating it to Hunters for the Hungry. They serve it at food banks all across the state. There's a dire need, and as the economy gets tighter and tighter, there's more and more people need assistance, a lot of times through no fault of their own. They're going through some tough times, and it's certainly welcome when they hold some of these events where they distribute the food to them or to the food banks, which in turn cooks it and serves up some wonderful wild game and seafood dishes. So if you can spare it. And a lot of people, they just come to the store. You can walk in Rouse's, go to the meat counter, pick something up, and come out and drop it off. We'll have ice chests out there. We're going to have some caps and fishing towels and some giveaway stuff from Hunters from the Hungry, and we'll talk more about it. If you want to find out where there's one near you, go to cleanoutyourfreezerday.com. You'll find all the details right there. All right, hope you enjoyed today's show, and we love having you here. We invite you to come on back again next week. We do it every Saturday morning, 5 to 7 a.m., 52 weeks a year. We're starting our 36th year of this program called The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, kind of wrapping up our Red Snapper program this morning, and thanks for all of you who participated. We did get that question on distinguishing male redfish from female, and I got a text that reminded me that the male drum, both the red and the black drum, croakers, trout, which are actually members of the drum family, it surprises a lot of people, speckled and white, the male do make a drumming sound that the females don't do. So if you hear them grunting or drumming, then yes, that would be a male fish. Also, during the spawning season, a lot of times when you first bring a male fish into the boat, it will eject sperm out, just kind of a reaction. And that way, the females, of course, obviously don't do that. So that's another way you can tell. But I'm not really sure why it would be important to distinguish a male from a female when it comes to those species. All right, anyway, I got some more. One says, oil and gas platforms, why do you call them rigs? Well, it's just a synonym. It's another name for an oil or gas platform. It's a structure, and they're called rigs by some people and sometimes platforms, but then it's interchangeable. If you hear somebody mention a platform or a rig, it's basically the same thing. All right, here's one, Don. How do you feel about diversion, freshwater diversion? How many hours do you have? It's not a simple topic, but I'll try to give you a simple answer. Just like I talked about when you go fishing, when you go to war, bring all your weapons. I believe all the weapons against diversion are needed, which would be rocks, dredging and filling, freshwater diversion to provide nutrients as a maintenance. But most of all, it takes money, and I don't see it. We're going to be running out of BP funds before most of the diversion projects that are planned are completed. I don't think the rest of the country, although they feel sorry for us, I don't think they want to put up their tax money. I think the oil and gas revenues, which are GOMESA money, which is put into combating coastal erosion, the rest of the states want to take that money when we bear the brunt of the oil and gas industry, the damage that it does to the coastline. Basically, I'm a realist, I'm a pragmatic, and I don't believe we're going to save the coast. I think it's too little, too late. Certainly, if there were enough money, yeah, look what they did in Dubai. It would be possible, but I don't see it happening. I think we're going to lose more land eventually than we construct. There's also some other factors, mitigating factors, subsidence, where it's not only being eroded, it's sinking. It's being saltwater intrusion, which is eating away at the coast. I think we're fighting a losing battle, but I think the fight is probably worth doing. There's a lot of money being spent, and there's a good argument that maybe relocation would be a better use of the money than trying to save the coast. But it's a sad situation it is, but again, taking a realistic approach to it. But that's basically in a nutshell. But I mean, it's a very complicated subject, and we could talk for hours and hours about it. All right, here's one. Says, Don, enjoyed your substitution talk show this past week. I can remember when you did that as a Friday weekly for Garland Robinette. Yeah, going back, I did it for Bob Del Giorno, too. In fact, you're going to hear me on our flagship station. I am going to be guest hosting the Morning Drive show, the Tommy Tucker show, on our flagship station, WWL AM and FM 105.3, next Tuesday through Friday. And the guy that's pushing all the control buttons right now, Cullen Steele, he's going to be with me. We're going to be working as a team from Tuesday to Friday next week, and then the following Monday, I'll be on from 6 to 10 a.m. Sorry, don't expect a lot of outdoor talk like we do on Saturday mornings. There will be political talk. There'll be some social issues brought up. Whatever happens to break on a Morning Drive show, we'll be talking about it. So hope you'll tune in, participate. The phone lines will be open for you. Text line will be open, too, and hope you do that. Next week on this show, I'm going to try to get her. Hopefully I can get her. Julie Grunwald, girl, a lady that does just a fantastic job with the Louisiana Hunters for the Hungry. We got clean out your freezer day coming up, and it's not only a clean out your day, it goes on for a couple of weeks. It starts around the earliest collection site in Louisiana, I think is the 12th, which is a Monday, and it goes through later into the month. I'll be manning one in Slidell at the Rouse's on Gauze Boulevard from 1 to 4 on Sunday, the August the 18th, and hopefully you'll come by. Say hello. Bring me some wild game of any type. They take ducks. They take deer, venison. Now they can accept hogs. Hopefully it'll be processed and wrapped with a date on it. If you've had sausage made and your freezer's still full or half full and you say, man, I'm getting ready to do some fall fishing and the hunting season's coming up, I got to make some room in this freezer. There's no better way to clean out your freezer than by donating it to Hunters for the Hungry. They serve it at food banks all across the state. There's a dire need, and as the economy gets tighter and tighter, there's more and more people need assistance, a lot of times through no fault of their own. They're going through some tough times, and it's certainly welcome when they hold some of these events where they distribute the food to them or to the food banks, which in turn cooks it and serves up some wonderful wild game and seafood dishes. So if you can spare it, and a lot of people, they just come to the store. You can walk in Rouse's, go to the meat counter, pick something up, and come out and drop it off. We'll have ice chests out there. We're going to have some caps and fishing towels and some giveaway stuff from Hunters from the Hungry, and we'll talk more about it. If you want to find out where there's one near you, go to cleanoutyourfreezerday.com. You'll find all the details right there. All right, hope you enjoyed today's show, and we love having you here. We invite you to come on back again next week. We do it every Saturday morning, 5 to 7 a.m., 52 weeks a year. We're starting our 36th year of this program called The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.